Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour on this Thursday, the 10th of May, 2012. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. One of the original co-sponsors of Alaska's cruise ship initiative is now setting his sights on corporate personhood. Haines resident Gershon Cohen has developed a civics presentation for high school and college-age students on the principles of democracy. Over the course of two class periods, Cohen draws a connection between the democratic values of the framers of the Constitution and the personal values of students. He then demonstrates how those values become distorted when applied to corporations. Cohen spent this week in Sitka High School. KCAW's Robert Woolsey attended one of his classes and files this report.
Going back to school again is always a little strange for me. The close quarters, the jostling in the hallways, and the desks seem a lot smaller. Gershon Cohen is teaching in Sitka High's American Government class, and by the standard of my high school memories, he's got the students' full attention for almost 90 minutes. He starts by asking them to list their values: food, home, money, guns, the arts, even video games. And then shows how values are connected.
You know, Sitka is a major fishing community, right? If you don't have clean water in Sitka, you're not going to have a healthy fishery. People aren't going to want to buy your fish. So if you're going to have economic wealth in Sitka, because you've got a good fishery, you're going to have clean water. You can't have one without the other.
Cohen focuses on organizing the values into four different kinds of wealth: economic wealth, like the fisheries, environmental wealth, social wealth, and political wealth. Overall, Cohen is factual and non-dogmatic as he examines the way the framers drew distinctions between privileges and rights and enshrined basic rights into the Constitution. He culminates in an argument that gross domestic product, or our overall economic output, may not be the best measure of our success as a society. When he does drop into opinion, he lets the students know.
I promise you, you will hear this in your life, that there's this balance we have to strike between the economy and the environment. And I will tell you that that I believe that is a total misnomer. That is a false dichotomy, that you can't have a healthy economy without a healthy environment.
This idea was the basis of Cohen's involvement in the 2006 Alaska Cruise Ship Initiative, which passed with 52% of the vote during the August primary that year. Cohen's new program is no less ambitious. What the students in the government class are not hearing is that Cohen is planning another statewide citizen initiative. I asked him about it after class.
Corporations should have privileges. They should have whatever privileges we as people think they should have. Corporations should not have, in my view, inalienable rights, because our government does not give us our rights. Our government simply acknowledges that those rights exist for us because we exist. And that's a tremendous difference.
Cohen and a marine biologist and oil spill activist from Cordova, Ricky Ott, created the school presentation, which they're calling Ultimate Civics. They're also collaborating on initiative language that would affirm that wherever the Alaska State Constitution mentions person, it is a human being exclusively. The initiative is a direct response to the U.S. Supreme Court's 2010 decision in favor of Citizens United. Justices ruled basically that independent political contributions by unions and corporations were a form of free speech protected by the First Amendment. The impact of the ruling was apparent almost immediately. Independent political action committees, or PACs, sprang up overnight, raising and spending huge sums to influence elections. Since there is no challenge to a Supreme Court decision, Cohen believes change will have to come from an energized public.
And in fact, in the polls that have been done since Citizens United, it is well over 80% of Americans, and I'm talking Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, everybody, over 80% of Americans think they made the wrong call.
It's fine that they have powers. It's fine.
Back in class, Cohen continues to trace the threat of human rights from the Constitution to local governments, where cities like Spokane are now drafting their own bills of rights.
It's clear that in Spokane, only natural human beings will have inalienable rights.
Well, they can't really do that, though, can they? Because the corporation rights are kind of federal thing.
No, actually, they're not federal in terms of the law. They're only federal in terms of judicial decisions.
Cohen went on to suggest that the Spokane Bill of Rights might face a legal challenge all the way to the Supreme Court. They may strike it down, Cohen said, or the court may decide differently. The student is Junior Levi Adams. He came away from the presentation with a strong sense of individual rights.
It's certainly been an eye-opener for me, being in this class and hearing him speak about all these issues, and I'm very fascinated. I think he's right that individual rights should have a higher precedent than those of corporations. I mean, certainly I don't know. I'm not an expert on the subject, but it seems like he's making a valid point.
Kayla Lysons and Ryan Morse, also juniors, were thinking along the same lines.
I knew that we had a lot of problems. I didn't think it was, like, that bad. Like, I knew corporations were running the U.S., and I honestly didn't really, I haven't really paid much attention to the government until this year, and so it was interesting to learn more about what's actually happening.
I'd been aware of it previously, like Kayla, but this is kind of revelation to me and reminded me of all things going on. And he had a great new perspective for me.
Adams, Lysons, and Morse are too young to vote now, but if Cohen's initiative is successful, the timing couldn't be more fortunate for someone to barnstorm high schools discussing civics and individual rights. Cohen says his initiative language will be headed to the Lieutenant Governor's office shortly. If it's certified, signatures would be gathered later this year. The legislature would have a chance during its next session in 2013 to pass substantially similar legislation and bypass the initiative. Barring that, the initiative would go before voters in August of 2014. These three students would be about 19 and eligible to vote. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Angoon Senator Albert Kukesh focused on rural water and sewer issues this session. That, school meal programs, and transportation issues are of interest to his district. That's because it includes more than 100 villages and small cities from southern southeast to Prince William Sound and into the interior. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Kukesh chairs the Senate Transportation Committee. One of its big issues this year was part of the state's plan for southeast. One draft proposal focused mostly on roads, with short-run ferries connecting pavement in mainland and island communities.
Oh, man, there had people up in arms even though it was only a draft plan. Something like that wasn't acceptable to most of the people in the district, including myself. Because I looked at that and I said to myself, well, that means walk-on people can't afford to ride a ferry anymore because you have to have a car to get in between the land links.
State officials said it was only one of many options and likely wouldn't go anywhere. So far, it hasn't. One of Kukesh's main priorities this session was a measure creating a water and sewer task force. He wanted to focus attention and money on the approximately 6,000 homes in rural Alaska without sewer or water hookups. The task force legislation didn't make it through, but he says some of the money did.
We may not take a big bite out of the whole thing, but I think with the money we have in there now this year for new systems into the villages that don't have water at all, we probably could retire maybe 25% of them next year if we can get all of the funding put into place. We have most of it already now.
The Angoon Democrat is also pleased with the many projects in his Senate district that made it into the capital budget. That includes rescue boats, health clinics, harbor improvements, and building repairs. There's also money for operations and debt retirement for the Inter-Island Ferry Authority, which links Prince of Wales Island to Ketchikan. But he doesn't want to be overconfident.
I'm not going to count anything or jump up and down until after the governor's veto process is over. I think everybody has to be aware of that the governor still has the opportunity to say no to some of those projects, and he said he would to those that he felt were unnecessary, even though we did stay under the spending cap that he wanted us to stay under.
Kukesh also hoped to push through increased funding for school meal programs. He says that would have helped low-income students be ready for the classroom.
Even though I was concerned about it, Willikowski and French were concerned about it, others were concerned about it, it just never got to the point of getting to the level where enough people were concerned about it so that we can push it through.
One of the year's biggest legislative battles was over oil taxes. Governor Sean Parnell called for lawmakers to lower them to spur exploration and development. Kukesh and the rest of the Senate's bipartisan working group agreed to incentives for new fields, but they said no to the rest.
And we thought there were so many people out in Alaska that did not like the governor's position on tax breaks. Many called it a $2 billion giveaway. I don't know whether it was, would have been eventually that number or not, but it would have been close. So I guess I was comfortable in not supporting the governor's position in this, but also being supportive and liking the idea that we were going to give tax breaks to somebody who discovered new fields.
This could be the Angoon Democrats' final term in office. New legislative district boundaries put him in a difficult race against Sitka Republican Bert Stedman. Kukesh says he plans to run hard to keep a Southeast Native rural perspective in the legislature, but the courts have twice struck down the official plan, leaving him wondering which race he's in.
Do I know I can start fundraising now and I can start campaigning, but I don't know where to start campaigning. And that's true of most people in Alaska. Where's our district? What's my lines look like?
If elected, Kukesh says he'll push for a seat on the Budget Writing Finance Committee, and he hopes another bipartisan majority forms in the Senate. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting.
You can hear a report on Kukesh's perspective from the start of this year's legislative session. Just go to our website at kcaw.org and look for the link. We'll also post reports on other Southeast lawmakers' end of session's views. Well, it looks like it's going to be a bit of a wet day throughout our listening area today. You can expect rain with highs around 46, southeast winds 10 miles per hour, increasing to 10 to 20 miles per hour. And it's going to get a little bit stormier as we go along. Rain tonight, lows around 43, south winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, and gusting to around 40 miles per hour late. And then tomorrow, rain, highs around 49 degrees, southeast winds to 25 miles per hour. It is currently 42 degrees. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. Good morning.